Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of walking hand in hand with you. And Father, we pray as we journey through this life, we would realize the tremendous need that is, that we would not, Father, walk in a different direction with a different person, that, Father, we'd be close because you became one of us, that you could take us where you are. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who made this possible. We thank you in his name. Amen. Romans chapter 16. We laid Gideon to rest, probably not like we would have liked to, but we did it anyway. Now we're going to look at a woman. Her name is Phoebe. She's found in Romans chapter 16. Women have it a lot rougher than men. You know that. They do. We should all admit that. Should have all the men stand up and say, women have it a lot rougher than men in so many different ways. The big thing today is equal pay for equal work, that kind of stuff. And women have always been behind the eight ball on that. Women do the same work for less pay than men do. And that's not fair. It's just not fair. Men are not better than women. God placed us both here, and God placed us both here for a purpose. Phoebe, obviously, was a woman. And Phoebe left a mark on this planet. Phoebe, most probably, was the one who took the book of Romans from Ephesus to Rome. Carried that. She's quite a person. I was just reading an article in the Our Daily Bread pamphlet about a woman from Ireland back in the 30s. And just so happened back then, they were starting to do some little films. They had filmed this woman because she had a very unique ability. She taught a chicken to walk backwards. You ever see a chicken walk backwards? That Irish woman taught a chicken to walk backwards. And because of that, she got her name out there on film. And because of that, she got into Daily Bread. That there was a woman who made a chicken walk backwards. And I was looking at that and I said to myself, I met a few Irish women that made me walk backwards. I wonder if they use the same thing. I wouldn't want to end my life and my notoriety is the fact that I made a chicken walk backwards. I'd like to have a little something more significant. And especially out there in eternity, I'd like to leave something for the kingdom of God that's of some eternal value. That's what I'd like to do. So this is Phoebe. I'm a people person, and I'm interested in where they were born, and I'm interested in why they're here. And I'm interested in where they went to school. And I'm interested in what they did for sports. I'm interested in whom they marry. And I'm interested in how many kids they have. And I'm interested in how many brothers and sisters do they have. And I'm interested in what they do for work. I'm interested in that. I ask questions. And sometimes, I probably ask questions I shouldn't ask. But I like people. And I want to get a mental picture of their life. That's just the way I am. So when we're doing characters, that's what I'm doing. I want to get a mental picture of what that particular individual was like. And today we're looking at Phoebe. Romans 16, verse 1. Paul says this, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who was a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Wow. Phoebe. Phoebe is part of the church. Phoebe is a member of the church. Phoebe is involved in the church. Christ died for the church. Now, he died for us individually, but he also died for the church, the corporate church. Why do people go to church? Why do people get involved in the church? I think some people are involved in the church because it takes them back to their roots. I think the same kind of thing they get from watching the Waltons, they get from going to church, whatever that is. By the way, that's still quite popular. People are still doing that, and people are still going to church. Some people, it's because of an emptiness. There's something missing. They don't know what's missing, but something's missing, and they go to church thinking, maybe this time I'll find out what's missing. They don't, so they come back again. Some people, it's for business and professional contacts. Some people are looking for acceptance, and they think they can find acceptance. Maybe they were found in grammar school, never found in high school, never found in the workplace, but they figure maybe in church they could find acceptance. And sometimes they're very disappointed. Some people, it's guilt. And guilt drives them to church. Chris Christopherson sings a song. I'll sing it for you this morning. And it goes like this. I want you to enter into this. Because Chris can sing it so you can enter into it. Pop open a beer and listen to this song. Chris says, "Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had more for dessert. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. Because there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on the sleeping city sidewalks, Sunday morning coming down." Listen, it's just a beer drinking song, but that's why people drink beer, because they listen to that, because they have that. It's just the emptiness, the difficulty of coming to the end of the week, starting another week, and something not there. That's why songs like that are so popular. People experience that. And because people experience that, guys like Chris make a lot of money coming up with those songs. Sometimes people come to church because they're made to by others. A man by the name of James Denny wrote this. I thought it was pretty good. "When you were born, your mother brought you to church. When you were married, your wife brought you to church. When you die, your friends will bring you to church. Why don't you just come on your own sometimes?" That's good, isn't it? For some people, it's just a rut. For some people, life is a rut. You work, you play, take care of the kids, you go to church, you work, you play, take care of the grandkids, you go to work. Life's a rut. You're just in the rut. You can't get out of it. Church is part of the rut. Because church is part of the rut, what can you do? And some people, and this is mine, they just enjoy being tortured. Going to church is like being on the rack. They don't like what they hear. They don't plan on doing anything with it. They have opinions, and they come back for more. I don't know. You look around the church. You're one person. You're looking around the church. It's probably 40, 50 people here today. You're looking around. Whom do you want to be like? Don't say it. I mean, don't even write it down. But whom do you want to be like? When I was in Bible college, I was listening to the teachers, and I would think, man, I want to be like him. Missionaries would come and go, and I think, man, I want to be like them. I want to be like that person right there. Now, some of those people, I could never attain to what they did. Some people ministered in some difficult, difficult cultures in our world. God called them to do that. I would never have made it in that particular thing. So I could not be like them. But I thought, I'd like to be like them. Phoebe. I went through the passage and I just took out Phoebe and I put in Gary. I'd like to be like her, but not a her. But you could go through the passage and you could put your name in there and it would read something like this. This is how it would read. "I commend to you Gary, our brother, who was a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may receive him in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist him in whatever business he has need of you. For indeed, he has been a helper of many and of myself also." I like that. I'd like to have Paul say that about me. I'd like to leave something back here that people could say, it was good he was here and he did a few things and that's good. He says, "I commend you," means to approve, means he affirmed her ministry. He said that this lady, Phoebe, had a gift and that she used that gift for the honor and glory of God. Where would any church be without women who serve faithfully? How much could you get accomplished without women who serve faithfully? Without women who are just there doing it. And they just do it because it needs to be done. Like Phoebe. Phoebe was probably a businesswoman. A woman traveling that distance, although Roman roads were relatively safe, but still, had to be connected with something else. And the way in which she served seems like she had a position, quite a position in the church. And Paul wanted her to be accepted in Rome, so she could have some kind of authority behind her. She's quite a woman. In our culture, growing up in the 60s and all, these boots were made for walking. And what will they do? Because one of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Well, that was just women trying to get a place in that culture. Be strong. Well, a lot of them weren't strong. they tried to be strong, but they weren't strong. They were never going to be strong women. But I think Phoebe was a strong woman. And I think she proved that she was strong by what she did, how she served. A fellow wrote this article about a woman wanting to be a bear. That's good. Try not to laugh. She says, I want to be a bear. If you're a bear, you get to hibernate. You do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that. And another thing, before you hibernate, you're supposed to eat yourself stupid. That wouldn't bother me either. She says, if you're a mama bear, everyone knows you mean business. You swat anyone who bothers you or your cubs. If your cubs get out of line, you swat them too. Your husband expects you to growl when you wake up. He expects you to have hairy legs and excess body fat. He likes it. I wish I was a bear. Well, that's what she said. I thought that was kind of cute. But the Bible says something about women. Except for Jesus Christ, we don't have anybody in the Bible that's a perfect man. And there aren't any perfect women either. But there's certainly a pattern in the Bible for a perfect man. And there's certainly a pattern in the Bible for a perfect woman. And Proverbs puts it like this, Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms and perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds a spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. And it goes on. And that's God's picture of perfection. It's the way it should be. I know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that. And men were not like Christ. We should be, we're not. And women should be like this. The woman described in Proverbs is a good role model. The ultimate pattern, of course, is Christ. Women are given the example of Christ and the practical application of a life lived for others in Proverbs 31, where the wife of noble character is found. We should pattern our life after Christ. We should. And women should pattern their life after this individual that's expressed here in the book of Proverbs. If we can try to attain to that bar, then maybe we'll get our name in a record like Phoebe did. This is good in the Word of God. There are people like Abigail and Deborah and Ruth and Esther, Mary, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of John, Lydia, Dorcas. Some very special women. We probably look at them after a while. And we could try to be like them as far as women could try to be like them. Even we as men could try to be like these women of character. Proverbs has the other side of the coin. It says in 9:13, foolish women are empty-headed. Say, well, that's sexist. No, it's not, because foolish men are empty-headed too. Don't feel bad. It says in 11:22, lovely women without discretion are like jewels in a swine's snout. And that's certainly true also. It says in 21:9, brawling women are not easy to live with. And it goes on. It gives both sides of the story. And that's true in life. She was a member of the church, this woman, Phoebe. She had a pagan name. It's a name that was the female form of a male god. Female form of a male god. Yeah. Means the light of the moon. We don't know if she was Gentile or Jewish. I like to think she was Gentile. The gospel came and it seemed to make an inroad into Judaism, and then it just kind of went out. But the Gentile world embraced it. The folks who were worshiping Isis and Jupiter, Mars, all kinds of gods, they heard the gospel. See, the gospel has something that all these other religions don't have. The gospel has a cure for sin. And something that we all have in common in our world, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter your nationality or your religion, we all have a sin problem. And the only religion that has a solution to the sin problem is Christianity. Because Christianity has a Savior. So Christianity is different. I don't know where Phoebe heard the gospel, but she heard the gospel. And she accepted the gospel, and she embraced the gospel, and then she promoted the gospel. She became actively involved in the propagation of the Word of God. That's the real thing. She's the real thing. She's a light now, but she's not the light of the moon. She's a different kind of light. And we're supposed to be a light. That's what we're supposed to be. Oswald Chambers says, "In the natural world, it is impossible to be made all over again. But in the spiritual world, it is exactly what Jesus Christ makes possible. We can be made all over again. We can be transformed. We can be taken out of the family of man, and we can be placed into the family of God. That's a possibility. You know, being born again is ridiculed today, mocked. But you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. Must be born again. Despite what the world says, you must be born again. Phoebe was born again. That's what happened to her. And she was a member of the church. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ?" Members of Christ. You're members of a body, the church, the body of Christ. I don't know exactly what she did in that church. By the way, I was about 9 miles away from Ephesus. But boy, she was certainly involved in that church, doing something. We do something. Everybody can do something. I know of a couple of retired guys who have entered wholeheartedly into the work of their church. Man, they're out there painting and fixing and building. And they're both retired, but they found a niche that they enjoy, and they're active in doing that. I don't know what Phoebe did, but she did something. She did it so well, Paul said, "Could you take this letter to Rome?" "Sure, I can do that. I can do that." She had an assignment, a task, a mission. Her gift was not complaining. It doesn't sound like that was her gift, complaining. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning in Numbers. It seemed to be the gift of a number of Israelites as they're journeying through the wilderness, but it doesn't talk about her gift being complaining. That's not a very good gift to have, although a lot of people have that gift. Her gift wasn't backbiting or slander. That didn't seem to be part of her character. But her gift was to work. Her gift was what needs to be done, and that's what we're going to do. That was her gift. Just see it and do it. That's a good gift. I like that gift. I like people who see it and do it. That's why we have what we have here today. Not just as far as ministry is concerned, but the material things that we have here today at Mountain View Bible Church is because of individuals who not only saw it, but they did it. Yeah, that's why it's here. She had an assignment. She was a sister, member of a spiritual family. I was the youngest of 8. Mother had to go to the hospital for some reason or other. And my sister, who at the time was probably 15, she had the rest of us to look after. And she did that. I was thinking about things like that. That's what you have to do. You take how many girls today would want to take care of their siblings like that and do a good job at it? They don't have time for that. You got sports and you got boyfriends and you got who knows what else you got. iPhones and computers and necessary things might get put on the wayside. She was a sister. Carnival director interviewing a young man looking for his first job as a magician. He asked, "What's your best trick?" The young man said, "Sawing a woman in half. That's my best." "Isn't that difficult?" He said, "No, not really. It's not difficult." He said, "I've been able to do that since I was a child. I used to practice on my sisters." The carnival director asked, "Do you come from a large family?" The would-be magician answered, "Well, I've got 4 half-sisters." Glad they belonged to his family. The family of God. That's what you're in. Your family was unique. There was no family like your family. And you look back at your brothers and sisters, and some had some very difficult situations. And some had it easier. But you look back at that, and you realize that whatever, you were part of it. You were there. You're in it. And even today, some of what you are today is because of that that took place so long ago when you were part of that family. But God gave you a new family. God gave you a spiritual family. And yeah, you maybe had some brothers and sisters that are a little bit off. Well, hey, you're comfortable now in the family of God because everybody's a little bit off. Can you handle it? But we're in this together, and we're on our way home. Back in the old days, people worked for the family. In our culture, people went to potato harvests throughout the area, and the entire family worked. Some would take everything needed with them, from their beds to a pig that couldn't be left behind. The whole family went because they had to work together because winter was coming. They had to be ready, had to dress the kids and take care of things. Families were together. They might fight in the potato field, but they're together. And the church of God should be a family together. Different people, different backgrounds, different cultures, different ages, together in this thing called Christianity. Christianity is quite a thing. It's really quite a thing. And we should look at it just like we look at home. We should look at it just like we look at our brothers and sisters. We should look at our Heavenly Father just like we looked at our father, our mother. We should. Phoebe was part of the family. Somebody said, in God's symphony of service, every part is important. It says, it doesn't take great people to do great things. It just takes unselfish people to do great things. I'd like to think, by looking at those few verses about her, that she was not a selfish person. It was about getting the job done. When Paul gave her the assignment, he asked her to take the assignment, she could do it. She had that tenacity. She had that energy. She had that intellect. And she had that will to do that job. That's what she did. Servant. Mark talks about that in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Records this. Jesus, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Phoebe was a great woman. Why? Because she was a servant. The word that's used there, we get our word deacon from that. Phoebe was a deacon. I know that's hard in some places. People think women shouldn't be deacons. The problem with thinking that women shouldn't be deacons is the fact they'll deke anyway. And then you take a guy and you give him the title deacon and he doesn't deke. So you got a woman who deeks but can't be called that, but you got a guy who can be called a deacon but he doesn't. I don't have an answer to that. But she was a deacon. Why? Because she deked. She took a job. She took authority. And she accomplished it. And Paul said, you can trust her. Take her in. Give her whatever she needs. She's on business assignment. Timothy talked about those deacons. Paul says to Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Servant must be able to do that. Servant can't be a fighter. Servant can't be getting in a fight all the time. Getting in a row. Boy, it's not hard to get a fight going today. I was talking to this old guy. He's like, 120. No, he's 80-some. So I was a kid, he said, he used to go to St. Francis, watch the fights. I said, you did? He said, yeah. Yeah, I just go down and watch the fights. He said, there was a fight every Saturday night. So I go down and watch the fights. Didn't get in the fight, watch fights. So I asked, who was fighting whom? So he named a few Irishmen, named a few Frenchmen. I said, yeah, that sounds about right. I said, I'd like to watch the fights. Same guys fight every week. He said, I'll tell you something, Gary. Be blood flying. Yeah, fights. Funny thing is, some people like to fight. No, they don't punch and carry on like that, but they like to fight. They like a row. They like to stir things up. They like to get people against each other. They like that kind of thing. Why would you do that? We were kids, and there were two guys who hung around with us. We're kids. We'd sleep out or whatever, nothing going on. And these two guys were friends. And before the evening was over, we'd get them to fight one another. And they would fight. I feel so sorry that we did that. We were just doing that for entertainment. Why would we do that? What a hurtful thing. We're just kids. But boy, there's some evil in those kids. Get a fight going. So you grow up. You get converted. You become part of a church. You enjoy fights. You get some pleasure out of that. People hurting each other for no reason. For no reason, really. Really, no lasting reason. Not just on this planet, but in eternity. No purpose behind it. Why do you do that? Servant of the Lord must not be like that. Phoebe wasn't like that. Not at all. Then we go into Revelation. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Hey, I'd like to see what's going to happen. Well, here it is. My servants, here's the plan. my servants, God's plan. There was a documentary on the other night on David Koresh, an American cult leader. He'd smoke and drink and run into town, do the bars and come back, and he was going to unfold Revelation for everybody. He got into a 51-day standoff with federal agents that ended when the religious group's compound near Waco, Texas, was destroyed by fire. 75 died, 25 children. Crazy. David Koresh was no servant of God. There was nothing about his life that would cause you to believe he was a servant. And he was going to write about the trumpets, and he was going to reveal what the trumpets meant. Back in my day, some of the prophets said that Kissinger was the Antichrist. I thought it was Nixon. You know what I mean? It was a confusing time. People do that. They claim to be prophets, and they come up with stuff off the top of their head that is supposed to be a revelation from God. Oh, I just got a message from God. Now, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, what? God's plan. Do you understand it? Not all of it. No, I can get some of it, but I can't get all of it. There's a lot of it I can't get. Maybe that's for a future time. Maybe the folks that are living during the Great Tribulation period, they're going to have a complete understanding of that, but we don't right now. Does it mean we shouldn't read it? No, we should read it because there's a blessing in there. We should understand that some terrible things are going to happen on this planet. But we don't know exactly how that's going to happen. What else did he show his servant? He showed his servant what the churches look like from heaven. That's what he showed his servants. I mean, it wasn't like today, white buildings and steeples and all that kind of stuff. Church was people. So when God looks at the churches from heaven, he doesn't see a white building and all that stuff. He doesn't see an organization, he sees people. And back in that day, they didn't see that either. So they saw people. Pergamos had people that claimed to know the Lord. Ephesus had that. And Sardis had that. And Philadelphia had that. These were churches. What they looked like from heaven, what they looked like from earth, was not the same as how they looked from heaven. God looked right down inside those churches and he said exactly what was going on inside those churches. Who did he do that for? His servants. He wanted his servants to know what happens in churches. Quite a thing. Man's rebellion against God, he wanted to show him how man's going to rebel against God. See, man thinks, well, the devil made me do this, and the devil made me do that, and the devil, poor devil, he gets a lot of blame. So you can take the devil, and you're going to put him away for 1,000 years. Okay? Okay, man, you're good. Devil's gone, can't bother you anymore. How's it going to go? Final rebellion against God. Big rebellion against God. What is that saying? It's not all the devil. We've got a nature we inherited from Adam. It's not good nature. And if we don't deal with it, it'll deal with us. And for man to get bad, he doesn't need the help of the devil. Do that all on his own. Well, the reason I committed that crime is because the devil made me do it. Hey, if I were the judge, I'd say, here are 99 years to think it over. Might change your mind about the devil. The Antichrist. Oh, there are a lot of Antichrists. I try to explain that to some of my family members. A lot of Antichrists in our world. There have always been Antichrists in our world. But there's one final Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. And the world is going to love him. But he's Antichrist. I want my servants to know that. I wish God's servants knew that today. I really wish they did. If they'd spend more time thinking about Christ and less time thinking about Antichrist, make all the difference in the world. But there is going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be a lake of fire. He wants his servants to know that. She was a servant, see? And then a new heaven and a new earth. I'm not going to quit using plastic straws. I think, what's another plastic straw? I mean, I'm sorry, but I was into recycling. We saved the cans. We washed the cans, the jugs, number two, all that. Did that. One day I go to the town and that whole thing's gone. I went up to the dump. I said, what am I going to do with my recyclables? Throw it in the garbage. Yeah, but it's going to kill the planet. That's what's going to happen. All of a sudden, how come? Well, the Chinese don't want it anymore. Well, the Chinese got enough of their own garbage. Not only do the Chinese have our garbage, they have our money. It's like, wasn't somebody watching? Oh, well, forget that. So instead of my getting all angry and writing a letter to my congressman, I just looked there and it said, there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. So I'm just going to suck on my straw, my Diet Coke, say, yeah, we could use a new earth. I'm sure the whales would enjoy it, going around with those big nets on them and everything. New heavens and a new earth. How far away is that? Well, when you're 67, it's not that far, is it? It's not far away at all for servants. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Phoebe was, yeah, pray we don't forget what she was. We'll meet her someday, and I'm going to ask, where were you born? Where were you born again? You have any brothers and sisters? Did you talk to them about this? Did you have any children? Did you try to communicate this to them? My questions would not be intended to hurt her, but I am genuinely interested because she became a Christian. I think when you become a Christian, that's how you should think. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for truth. Truth. In a world of fake news and lies, we have the Word of God. We have truth. We thank you for that. Makes it possible to navigate this life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.